Hey, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself at home. I love this opportunity that we have every Friday to spend some time talking about the scriptures for the upcoming Sunday Mass. Today we're going to look at the readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. Yep, we're back in Ordinary Time now. That's where we're going to spend the next several weeks until we begin the season of Lent. So with that in mind, we will be doing the readings today. We'll do the first reading, the second reading, responsorial psalm, and the gospel. I'll talk a little bit about them, and we'll try to tie them all together so that when you go to Mass on Sunday, you've already heard the readings. I may have given you a thought or two, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to inspire me, to let me know what I should be saying, because, you know, He knows what He wants you to hear. And our messages might be slightly different. You could read these scriptures. I could read them. We could get a slightly different message. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just going to share with you some of my thoughts. And hopefully, as we read the readings, we'll ask the Holy Spirit to help us. You might be taken in a different direction. And again, that's fine. But this way, you'll be all set for Mass on Sunday. You will not have be hearing the readings for the first time. So that's always a good idea to do that. I am sitting here. The sun is going down right now. It's dusk out. I've got a nice cup of Mystic Monk coffee, some Vespers decaf. I love my Mystic Monk coffee, especially on a chilly day. Temperature's starting to go down a little bit. It's been warm for the past few days here in southern New Jersey, but it's going to be getting a little cooler. They tell me that there is some snow on the way. Not a lot. I think it's just going to be a minor event, which is good, because I'm going to be speaking tomorrow. If you're listening to this and you are in the vicinity of Willingboro, New Jersey, which is right over the bridge from Philadelphia, I'll be speaking at the Women of Joy prayer breakfast, the monthly prayer breakfast. My topic tomorrow, one of my favorites, From Fear to Faith. And I will have, and it's interesting, this is the only place right now that you can get this book. I will have copies of my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. That's going to be available tomorrow at the Women of Joy prayer breakfast at Willingboro, New Jersey, Corpus Christi Parish. I'll have copies of the book. Right now, it is temporarily out of stock on Amazon. I think it's going to be released in a few days, but I've got some advanced copies. If you're in the area, you want to stop on by. Of course, you have to be a woman. So men, I'm sorry about that, but you have to be a woman to go to Women of Joy. I'm going to be speaking and have copies of all of my books, including the new one, Stop Worrying and Stop Living. So you know the deal. Stop on by. Say hi. I'd love to have you come by to the talk. It's early, 9 a.m., right after the 8 o'clock Mass. They get set up, and then they go right into the meeting. And it's an amazing event. I was there a few years ago and did it. Had a great time. So stop on by. And the information, in case you're interested, is on my website, followingthetruth.com. I have all my dates, current dates for 2017, posted on the website at followingthetruth.com. So check that out. And if you would like me to come to your parish, I would love to do it. Just send me an email. And my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. Let me know some dates, and we'll talk about it. There's different options. I could do a parish mission. I could do a one-day retreat. I could do a one-hour talk. I could do a two-day mission. Whatever you want. I'll work according to your needs. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay. I had to take a sip of my coffee because I was getting a little parched. I don't know if you got a chance to hear, but earlier today I was on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning. We were at a bakery, which is a pretty cool thing. I've never done this before. We did a diner. We've done schools, but we never did a bakery before. And boy, this was a good bakery. We did our broadcast of the show live, Spirit in the Morning. And if you're interested in hearing it, you can go to spiritinthemorning.com. We have all of the podcasts for the week available. So you'll be able to listen to the program there. Now, a little bit of news on Friday, on Sunday, if you wouldn't mind saying a prayer for me. I'm going to be heading down to Birmingham, Alabama, to tape a series with Johnette Benkovic. We're going to do a week's worth of programs on my book, the previous book I had out, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. So this is going to be, I'm excited about this. This has been a passion of mine for a while now, this idea of having a closer friendship with Christ. I want to help you and anybody who watches the program to grow closer to Christ. In the process, you know what? I'm trying to grow closer to Him too. So anything that I discuss, any of the things that I discuss, my anxiety, the Blessed Mother, the Holy Spirit, any of my talks, Getting Closer to Jesus, any of these talks generally represent my own faith journey. These are things that I have gone through and could possibly be still going through. It's been an amazing journey for me. Many years I spent being completely lukewarm, but once I decided to give my life to Christ, I really began to fall in love with Him, and I want to share Him with others. So that's why I do what I do, and I would invite you to come along with me, and let's do it together. Let's continue to stay close to our Lord, to grow closer to Him, and to become better friends with Him. That's something you can always keep doing. That's not something that you would want to do just one time and feel that, okay, I'm close enough to Him, I don't need to work at it anymore. We always need to work at that. So I would invite you to just come along with me for the journey. You can follow me on the morning show. You can follow me during these weekly podcasts. And right now, we're doing them on Fridays, and that works good. I might start to mix in more, but we're going to have to see. As my travel schedule picks up and the morning show is still going on, it's going to get a little tricky. So I think the Friday broadcast for right now, we'll stick to that. But you let me know. Let me know if you enjoy the program and if you would like to see it expand. Again, it's really going to depend on how practical it is. Right now, I can handle the Friday weekly podcast, and I think it's important to talk about the Sunday Mass readings. But we'll see what transpires after that. Okay, any other news? I think that's it for news. Why don't we pray now, and then we'll start on the Mass readings for Sunday, which is the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us with a new day. Thank you for loving us so unconditionally. Thank you, Father, for the many gifts and blessings that you have granted to us. Above all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask you, Father, to allow us to grow closer to you each day, and grant us the strength and the courage that we need to show our faith proudly in the world. And please use us to draw people closer to you. We especially ask you to bless us and to bless our families. Help anyone who is struggling with anxiety, loneliness, doubt, despair, addiction. Help anyone suffering from religious persecution. Be with anyone who might be experiencing a weather-related problem. Help the homeless, the homebound. Help all those who have strayed, all those who no longer believe in you. We know that you still believe in them. So please help them. Help soften their hearts and redirect them so that they may come back to you. Father, we present to you our own personal needs, whatever they may be, and we ask you to handle them for us. I ask you to speak through me during this show. Send your Holy Spirit to come alive so that I can speak your message. You know what you want to say, Father. I might not know. So I ask you to speak through me, to let me know what it is that you want us to hear today. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. We ask you, Father, to help our government leaders, especially in the United States, our current president and our president-elect, and all of our leaders. Help them to follow your law in doing what they do. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for an end to abortion. And we ask you to have mercy on all these souls in purgatory. And we ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks again for tuning in. I'm Gary Zimek. We do this podcast every Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch the podcast on iTunes or on TuneIn Radio. It's available on either one of those places as well. It's going to cost you nothing, no matter what you do. And the reason I can do that is because of your generosity. So if you are someone who has contributed to this program, to my work, you're the reason why I'm able to do this podcast free of charge. And it's always going to be free. I'm not going to charge for it. So I want to thank you if you have contributed. And if you have not, and you like my work and you want to see my work continue, you can really help me out by going to followingthetruth.com, going to the donate tab, and donating securely online through PayPal. I would especially love to get some new monthly sponsors. A lot of my monthly sponsors have been unable to do it over the past year or so. Things have been happening. People have been struggling financially. It's tough out there. It's not an easy thing. So I would ask you, if you haven't done it and you'd like to help me continue, because it is a challenge. Full-time ministry is not an easy way to make a living. I mean, you could imagine, but it's true. I'm not complaining about it, but I just want to let you know that you could partner with me so that I can do these podcasts, so that I can be able to go into parishes. A lot of times parishes don't have a budget to pay a speaker, and that's why your donations could help me. Your donations could help me to be able to get the message out. When a parish can't afford to pay for my expenses, I'm able to use some of this money to supplement what they can afford, and therefore you're helping get the message to these people. So if you're able to do it, I'm not going to ask you to do something you can't do, but if you'd like to participate in the work that I do, one of the best ways that you can do that, of course, the most important thing is to pray for me, but the other thing you can do is to contribute financially. Again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can either become a monthly sponsor, which is very much needed right now, or you can make a one-time donation. Whatever you want to do is I'd be extremely grateful. And if you need more information, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Another thing that, before we do the readings, is that your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee or the Amazon link on my website, that helps me out as well. So if you would continue to do those things, you would be able to help me out tremendously, and we can keep this show free for a long time to come. God willing, I'm going to try to come up with something, but something for Lent. We always typically do a Lenten radio retreat. I'm going to try to do something like that again this year. I'm just not sure what extent it will be. I'll do it too. And the other thing is the total consecration. In the fall, I've done it for several years. I'm going to try to do something this year as well. I'm not sure exactly what, but we're going to see what we can do with that. But again, your donations make it possible. Thank you very much for your support. All right, let's do some scripture now. Second Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is a powerful message. This powerful message. And remember, what the prophets are doing, the prophets are really being the interface between the people and the Lord. This was when Isaiah was alive. Jesus had not yet been born yet. Of course, we have Jesus Christ as the mediator between us and God, and we have Jesus who walked on the earth and left us with so many great direct quotes. So many of the Gospels are filled with direct quotes from Jesus, as well as a record of what he said and what he did. So we have something that the folks back before in Isaiah's time didn't have. But what Isaiah is saying here, he's talking about the Lord has formed him as his servant from the womb. that Jacob may be brought back to him. Isaiah had a very specific job, and Israel gathered to him. The people would keep straying. Much in the same way you and I do it, the people would walk with the Lord for a little bit, and then they'd go off in their own direction. And then they'd start to say, well, we're going to do it our way. And every time we sin, we do the same thing. It's easy to look at the Israelites and criticize them and say, well, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But in reality, you and I, we're doing the same thing every time we sin. Every time we either disobey the Lord by doing something we're not supposed to do that's not moral, or by not doing something we are morally obliged to do. A lot of times we sin by omission, by not doing what we should do. So in a way, we're like the people, and sometimes in our lives, the Lord will bring us back in the same way. He'll get our attention by something that happens. And you know, if you've been there, if you're like me, there have been times in your life when things appear to be falling apart. And what we often do is turn back to the Lord when our lives seem to be on the verge of crumbling. And he knows that. Sometimes he allows these things to happen, these events to happen, because what he sees that we don't see is the value of us being in a good friendship with him, in a close relationship with him. See, he sees that. You and me, we're blinded by the events of our lives, and we forget sometimes that it is important to have that friendship with the Lord. It is important to walk with the Lord. And he'll allow things to happen, which we might not like, but if it gets us back with him, that's a good thing. And one day, we're going to be really grateful for that, especially if we end up in heaven, which God willing, we're all going to end up there. But in order to do that, we need to keep walking with him. We can't stray. If we stray and don't come back before we die, well, then you know what's going to happen. And it's not a good thing. That's how we end up in hell. We don't want to go there. We want to follow the Lord every day. And sometimes, I was thinking about this today, sometimes I look at my life and there's certain situations that I know what I want to do, but then I know what I should do. Did you ever have that happen? You might have somebody in your life who's really driving you crazy, and you want to say something to them, and maybe even picture in your head what you want to say, but you know it's not the right thing. Eventually you realize, I probably shouldn't be doing this. I probably should be offering it up, or I probably should just keep my mouth shut. And the way I generally come to that conclusion, it's usually during prayer, and oftentimes it's by meditating on the various mysteries of the rosary. Because you start to think about the life of Christ and the way he lived his life, and you realize he does things a lot differently than we do, but we're called to imitate him. It doesn't feel natural, though, a lot of times, because we have this fallen human nature. What feels natural is if somebody wrongs you, you get even. If somebody helps you, then you help them. In other words, you love those who love you. But Jesus said, no, that's not right. You've got to love your enemies. It goes against our nature, or our fallen human nature, I should say. So comparing yourself to Jesus is the way you want to do. That's what you want to do. Okay, I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. The Lord said to Isaiah, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The Israelites were the chosen people. They were the people to whom God first revealed himself. And then what happened eventually, Jesus Christ was born, and with his new covenant, all people were the chosen people. So right now, we're blessed because somebody like me who is a Gentile, Jesus Christ is my Savior as well. He's my Messiah. And that's because he came and extended the message to everyone. It just didn't apply to one particular group of people. Let's do all these readings, and then let me try to tie them in together. The responsorial psalm, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. That's Psalm 40. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, Behold, I come. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Are you waiting for the Lord? I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. A lot of times we don't like to wait for him. A lot of times we want to run ahead and expect him to catch up. Keep this in mind. This is a great psalm. If you have a problem in your life, if you need direction, turn to the Lord and wait for him. Wait for him and ask him to help you and be patient and be willing to accept whatever he decides. That's not easy. The way this psalm starts, the refrain from this responsorial psalm, says this: Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. Not, Lord, here am I, here's what I need. A lot of times we pray like that. We pray, my will be done, not thy will be done. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. And that often means accepting whatever he gives us, accepting the problems that enter into our lives, accepting the difficult personalities. Now, does that mean you cannot get out of these situations if they're completely unpleasant? No. If your job is wearing you down, if you don't feel that you belong at your job, you can certainly get another job. If you're even in an abusive relationship, God doesn't expect you to take that abuse. There are times when you just need to get out of it for self-preservation. So you have to keep that in mind. Oftentimes, God gives you an out. You don't have to suffer needlessly. He doesn't expect you to do that. But when you've tried everything you can, and you still can't escape the suffering, well, then he wants you to endure it. And that's when you really turn to him and ask for the grace to continue. But doing God's will often involves accepting things that you would rather not accept. It's not fun. But I will tell you this, there's great peace in doing that. It just takes getting over that hump and saying, yeah, okay, Lord, I don't like this, but I'm going to do it. The second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, very beginning of Corinthians, 1 through 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Note that he says here he's called to be an apostle, so Paul is considered an apostle. He was called directly by Jesus after Jesus had died and rose from the dead. That's when you can read in the Acts of the Apostles. The first instance is chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul is called by Jesus to be an apostle. He wasn't one of the original 12, but he was called after the fact, directly by our Lord, when he was off looking to persecute Christians. He was walking on the road to Damascus, and Jesus kind of intercepted him and told him that he had a special mission for him. He's talking to the church in Corinth, saying, you are all called to be holy, which we're all called to be holy as well, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is wishing peace to the people in the church at Corinth. And again, this is the very beginning of the letter. And generally what happens with these second readings is they'll run sequentially. So you'll probably see the next couple of weeks, next several weeks, you'll see readings also. The second reading will be from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. That's generally what happens, especially in ordinary time. And the Gospels will do the same thing, But the first readings and the responsorial psalms, they're going to change. And a lot of times the way that you can figure out the main message or the theme of the readings is to look at the responsorial psalm, because that's where we get oftentimes the main message. This is how you can often tie them together. It's a little bit of a trick that you can do to tie the readings together. Because sometimes you read them all and you say, okay, I don't get the theme. There's so many different themes. What's the common bond? A lot of times look to the responsorial psalm. The gospel is from John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me, who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." So we see what's happening here. John the Baptist is calling attention to Jesus. Remember, he had his own disciples. He was baptizing, but he was never the Messiah. And he made that really clear. "I'm not the guy. I'm just the guy who's calling attention to the guy," much like the prophet Isaiah did in the first reading. And you see, look at the Old Testament prophets. They talked about the coming of the Lord, coming of the Savior. And that's what they did. They didn't say, "It's all about me." It wasn't about them. And in fact, oftentimes they had an unpopular message because the people didn't want to hear what God was telling them. But God has always used people like the prophets and people like us to spread his good news, to do a lot of, for lack of a better term, the dirty work, the difficult tasks. But he's really behind us helping, and we often forget that. So God expects us. It's kind of a real privilege that he'll be able to use us for that. "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." And that the responsorial psalm, ultimately, when you look at that, ultimately, if you look at the person of Jesus Christ, he is someone who was all about doing the will of his Father in heaven. That's all Jesus did. He was sent on a mission, a difficult mission. It wasn't an easy time for Jesus, but what he did was continually follow the will of his Father. That's why he is a great example for us. We end up comparing ourselves to many different people, and often we pick these people that are going to make us look good, right? You're not going to pick somebody who's holier than you. You're going to pick someone who's not doing a good job with their life, or who maybe doesn't go through all of the religious practices that you do, who might be a bit of a jerk at times. Why? Because that's going to make you feel better. So a lot of times we do that. We pick somebody as a role model who is inferior to us so that we can build ourselves up. I guarantee you, you start comparing yourself to Jesus on a daily basis and look at what he says, look at what he does, you're going to realize that there's some work to be done. And that's good. We want to realize that. We want to realize that in our lives. So this gospel is all about Jesus really beginning his public ministry by being baptized by John the Baptist and getting that affirmation when he came out of the water from God his Father. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." In other words, this is the guy. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And our baptism that we receive, the sacramental baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit during that baptism. That wasn't the baptism that John was performing. So when Jesus was baptized, he literally instituted the sacrament of baptism with that. He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't have any sin. He was perfect. He was God. But he really did that for us. He sanctified the water, if you will. When we're baptized, the water through the word and the words of the priest absolves us of our sins and incorporates us into the church. Well, really, Jesus kind of zapped that water when he was baptized and created the sacrament. So it's a great thing. It's a great blessing. Very humble act on his part. I'm looking at the clock now. I am just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining me on this Friday. I want you to have a wonderful weekend. Remember to email me if you need anything. Gary@followingthetruth.com. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.